Can you change this line for me? In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall begin our class. According to the assignment, today in the afternoon and one more tomorrow, we will spend three classes, three sessions to talk about the kings. One of the students just asked me if I'm going to cover the entire book of 1st and 2nd Kings in three sessions. What are you thinking? Of course not. So what we are going to do is for these three classes, we are going to find three, focus on three kings. And these three kings are quite different. And we will spend the three sessions to go into the detail about their life story, and perhaps we can, from their life, we can have some understanding about how to avoid failure and also how to live in a triumphant, in a victorious life. So today we're going to look at the first one. The title is called Evil All the Way. So which king are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Who's the worst, the most evil, wicked king in the Bible? Ahab. So we all know that from our concept, it's very easy for us to jump into a conclusion that yes, Ahab, he's the most evil, he's the worst, he is terrible. But let me ask you one question. What do you know about him? Why is he a terrible, the worst, the most evil king? Why? Anyone? Anthony? Okay, because the wife is evil, it make him an evil man. Okay, we'll see. We'll see after you get married. Okay, anything else? What incidents in his life that allows you to reach the conclusion that he's an evil man? Raise your hand, please. Yes. Yes, with his wife, thanks to Anthony, with his wife's support, strong recommendation, idol becomes a national religion. What else? Abby? He tried to kill the people of God. Him or his wife? Okay. What other incident? Any particular incident? Yes. During his time, somebody rebuilt the city of Jericho. You can't really blame him on that, but he also provide a national atmosphere. Like the whole country is just into this evil thing because of role model. You mean the king, the queen, they are serving as a role model, and apparently the whole country is going into a very different direction. Anything else? Any incidents? Patrick? Okay, the vineyard, the Naboth vineyard. You know that everything's related to his wife, huh? Yeah, it's about Naboth's vineyard. Okay, so that's why we make him an evil man, huh? Who is that? Champing? Oh, stretching. Go ahead. No problem. You know that, but today, I want you to keep an open mind about what we are going to look at. Just keep a very open mind, and I will let you know what I want you to look at it. Now, let's look a few passages in the Bible, and then you tell me what kind of person that he is. Let's turn to 1 Kings. It's very, it's very easy for us to jump into a conclusion Ahab, the evil man. But sometimes, if you know nothing but the conclusion, you might miss a lot of things in between. So now we need to, instead of just very directly conclude that he's an evil person, an evil king, let's look about his life. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter, no, that's to chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. Actually, verse 2 to verse 5. Where is the list? Some of you hide the list, huh? So we cannot call you. Okay. Marianne, can you read from verse 2 to verse 5. Thank you very much. So what did you see in here? In here, we see that this is a king that was searching for water source, in order to prevent the distinction or the destruction of the livestock. So you know that as a king, who will be the last one go to work? You know that if you go to work in the company in the future, who will be the last one that start doing some real physical work? It's usually the boss, right? Either the manager, your boss, the manager or the boss. Somebody else will need to do the work first. But in here, we see that Ahab took upon himself the work. He could have just easily assigned, someone go and do it. He could do that, but instead, he went on his own. So this is one thing I want you to remember about him. Next, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 4. Sean, can you read for us? Okay, you know that in this time, this is a second occasion that they were under the besiege of the enemy. So they were in trouble. The enemy came. The enemy tried to attack Ahab, and Ahab was unable to fight against the enemy. So at this time, the king of the enemy, called Ben-Hadad, he sent a messenger, said that everything I see in your place, I will take it. The most beautiful concubines, your wealth, your money, everything you own. If I want it, I will take it. And what did he say? He said, sure, please, if you can stop this war, if you just retreat and stop this war. So go ahead. If we turn over to the verse 5, verse 5 and verse 6. Sprite. Thank you. Now, what is the differences in this second request? The second request involves other people. Now, the first request, they only say, whatever belongs to you, the king, belongs to you. Your wife, your concubines, your children, your money, will take it. But the second time he says, including your servants, that's when he put a stop to it. So keep that in mind. And now, is he a selfish person? So keep that in mind, huh? Now, let's look another verse, huh? Let's read verse 13 and 14. Rebecca. Okay, so in here, apparently that they are having a war. They were about to get into the war. And a prophet came and said, God will help you to fight this war, no problem. But now there's a problem. What is the problem? The problem is, who is going to lead the army? Who is going to lead the army? You know that according to the recording, they were facing 127,000 enemies. 127,000. Now they were facing 127,000 peoples. And how many do they have? In verse 15 says they are 232. 232. And of course, other than that, there are another 7,000. 7,000. Oh. So who is leading? Who will be the one that lead the 232 men out of the city and fight with them? Who? The prophet say, you. Did he go? If you were King Ahab, if you are really a terrible, evil, selfish, wicked king, when the prophet tell you, you see those enemies? 127,000 men, I will give them into your hand, but you have to go and fight on your own. You go out, you know what? I will give you 232. But you have to go, open the door. You have to be the one that go out and lead the army. Will you do it? Most unlikely. So, give another thought. What kind of person that he was. A man led 232 men, went out of a protected city wall and faced 127,000 enemies. Because what? The Lord says so. I mean, if I was the king, even everybody died in the whole city, I would be the last one, right? Send all the soldiers, send all the men, who would be the last one to be killed? The king. So even no one else has that chance to escape. He was supposed to be the only one, only few that has the chance to escape. But because the prophets say, you should lead the army, so he went. He went. Okay, keep that in mind, huh? Let's read. So they won the battle. They won the battle, huh? Let's turn to verse 29, 30, and 31, huh? Let's sell. Can you speak a little bit louder? First King chapter 20, verse 29 to 31. Amen. So what is the reputation of King Ahab? Even the enemy knew. Even the neighboring country knew. He was known as a merciful king. Isn't that kind of weird? You know, the evil, the wicked Ahab, the terrible man, the worst king of all. The neighbors say that he's a merciful king, a nice guy. You know that if we, you know, we lost a war, but if we dress in sackcloth, he will forgive us. Keep that in your mind, huh? It's very easy for us to jump to the conclusion and condemn this person. Evil. Oh, yes, go ahead. Kings. But you know that in that generation, you could be right. The information is not the speed, if the information is not that fast. But if we see from the way that Ahab treated them afterward, when they went out, did Ahab kill them? No. Ahab said, Ben-Hada, my brother, where are you? The guy that were just going to take everything away from him. The guy that trying to kill, the guy trying to eliminate his kingdom, and take, you know, and kill him. But when he won the war, he said, Ben-Hada, my brother, where are you? Oh, he's my brother. So perhaps Ahab, or should I say that, perhaps Ahab is not really the Ahab that we have in our traditional concept. As I'm saying that, you know, sometimes we can reach conclusion very quick. Ahab, terrible guy, so everything he does is terrible. Perhaps we need to give another thought, huh? Let's turn to the next one. Let's look at the most terrible thing, the vineyard of Naboth. The vineyard of Naboth. Let's turn to verse 21, chapter 21. Chapter 21. In verse 2, Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for the vegetable garden. Since it's close to my palace, in exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it's worth. He's the king. He is an evil king. He is the worst king of all. He worships idols. He has a terrible wife. You know that, but when he talks to his people, he makes negotiation. He makes trades. He did not just send soldiers and say, hey, I want this, get out of here. No, he makes trades. And he make a fair trade. He said, I will give you something equal value. If not, I will give you something even better. So he's making a good bargain. A good trade. A fair trade and a good trade. He did not oppress the people by just seizing things away from them. Huh? So what happened after he was rejected? What happened after he was rejected? The powerful king, the king, the highest, the biggest guy in the whole country. What did he do? Did he send people and say, let's kill Naboth? No. The Bible says that he went back, sullen, angry, wouldn't eat, facing the wall, wouldn't talk to people. What does that remind you? Remind you yourself when you were young. Very spoiled. If you don't get what you want, what do? Turn against the corner, facing the wall. And mom said, come on, let's go eat. No. He's just a spoiled child. Was he, if he were someone else, maybe you or I, if we are in that position with power, army in the hand, army, we have full control, what would we do? We just seize the place. No negotiation, no trades. I want it. It's mine. Oh. Because he's the king. But what does he do? He makes trades, and if his people say no, he went back home, you know. Like just an angry boy. Just went home as an unhappy boy. That's it. He didn't do anything. No retaliation, nothing. Oh. Also, unfortunately, his wife did something about it. He didn't do anything, but his wife jumped out and do something for him. His wife did something. Also, Naboth was killed, and he got the vineyard. So the punishment of the Lord came upon him. I mean, the the prophet, the prophecy came about him, came upon him, so that he will be punished because of this incident. In verse 27, Kings chapter 21, verse 27. Jessica? 29, yes, please. So what did he do when he heard about the punishment of God? He humbled himself and repent. Yes, he's an evil person. So even after repentance, I mean, his ending is still no good. But in here says, God heard his prayer, and God saw his humbleness. God saw his repentance. You know, a person can be stubborn all the way. No. Forget about it. Forget about God. I will not repent. It's not my problem. It's not my fault. Sometimes we feel that it's never our fault. You know that once I ran into a youth that has married to a non-believer. And we have a conversation. And the sister, I was talking to the sister that it's not God's will for us to marry a non-believer for many reasons. So, well, since you made up your mind and you made it into a fact already, so you still need to come back to God and still need to repent about it. You know what she said to me? She said, no. She said, maybe there are a lot of things I need to repent to God, but marriage is not one of it. I said, why? She said, because I have given God enough chance. I have been waiting for him to bring someone to me. I wait and nothing happened. So I marry an outsider. So it's not my fault. Not my problem. It's God's problem. So I don't have to repent. God need to think about it. You know, sometimes we could be very hard-hearted. Very stubborn. She said that I wait. And I found out that it was, at the age of 24. She said, how long have you been waiting? From what, 22 to 24? But you know that sometimes people can really push all the responsibility to someone else. Someone else's fault. It's always other people's fault. It's never my fault. Also, if we keep this kind of mind and we come and we want God to have mercy on us, it's going to be very difficult. So in here, you see what happened to Ahab. Ahab humbled himself in front of God. Let's do one more. Ramoth Gilead. Let's turn to King chapter 22. First King chapter 22. Verse 7, they were going to go into a war. Let's read verse 7 and verse 8. Samuel? Verse 7 and 8. You know that his reaction is always rather interesting. King Ahab's reaction. If he's a very, very brutal, very mean, very terrible king, he might as well just kill the person. I hate him. He always say bad things about me. You know that Ahab is nothing but is no different than a spoiled child, just a spoiled boy. You can see that his reaction. I mean, he has a lot of personal feeling or grudge or unhappiness against certain people, but he doesn't take into strong actions. He doesn't. He said, I don't like him. I don't like him. And he's a king. I don't like him. He always say bad things. He always say that I'm bad. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, so I don't want to see him. That's it. He just run away from him. He just run away from the prophet. That's it. Let's see another thing, huh? Yeah. You know that after he went into the battle, as much as he doesn't like the prophet, as much as he was angry. Oh, the prophet always said bad things. He said, I'm going to die. So I don't like it. But what did he do? He disguised. Does he believe? He sort of believe. I mean, at least he's a little bit worried about it. A little bit worried about. The prophet could be right. I just don't like what he said, but I think he's right. I think he's from God. I just don't like every time he said things that's bad about me. Oh. So he disguised. If he doesn't believe at all, if he doesn't believe at all, he doesn't need to disguise, right? He doesn't need to change his dress. The third thing, let's read chapter 22, verse 34 to verse 35. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 34 and 35. Amen. I didn't really hear you, so sorry. In verse 34 and 35, it talks about the ending of Ahab. In here it says, you know, usually we usually focus on someone randomly out of nowhere pull the bow and the arrow fly it. It just happened, it shoot in between the gap of the armory. God's righteousness, justice prevail, right? We always focus on this. But did you see what happened to Ahab after he was critically wounded? Did he run away? You know that the Bible say that he said to the rider of the chariot, pull him away from the front line. But someone supported him so that he remained in battle until that evening, until the day that he died. Until the moment that he died. If he is really such an evil, terrible, wicked, selfish, brutal king that has no good, nothing but one word, evil, why would he do that? If I were him, I was the king, you know. I was the king. I was supposed to be the most honorable. So if I was wounded, what would I do? Run back, find the physician, find doctors, treat it so that I can live on and maybe I can get my king, I will continue my kingship. The battle, let's general deal with it, let Israelites deal with it. I need to save my life first. He could pull himself away from the battle and save his life first, but did he know that he's going to die? He knew he would if he never treat the wound. If he remained in the battlefield, the Bible says that he resists the enemy until the sunset, until the moment that he died. The reason I brought all this point to you, I am not trying to convince you that Ahab, a wonderful king. The Bible made it very clear, Ahab, the worst king of all. But you need to know why. Instead of just easily jumping to the conclusion, he is evil, I will never be like him. You know that sometimes when we read about the story of Ahab, we feel that it's so far away from us. He has nothing to do with us because I am bad, but I'm not that evil. Yeah, I made mistake here and there, but no, I will never be as bad as Ahab. Really? really? You know, sometimes if you really think about it, we might be worse in terms of our personality, in terms of our habit, in terms of the way that we conduct our life. We might be no different than King Ahab, and even worse. Also, do not just jump into a conclusion that Ahab has nothing to do with you. You are okay because you are only a little evil, not big, very evil. Huh? You are not very evil. You are just making mistakes here and there. Tolerate yourself doing this and doing that. So it's okay. I will never be like Ahab. Really. What did the Bible say about Ahab? You know that compared to other kings, there are other kings that's very brutal. Start from very beginning. Kill, kill, kill. Kill people. Worship idols everywhere. They were evil inside out. There are kings that were evil inside out in the history of the kings. But how come Ahab was quoted as the worst of all? Isn't that kind of weird? There are people who do worse things than him. There are people who are far more evil than him. But the Bible called him the worst of all. Why? Have you ever thought about it? Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. Jack? Where's Jack? Jack. Jack, where are you? Raise your hand. Okay. 25 and 26? Where is your own Bible? You can read Chinese, it's okay. I don't mind. Verse 25 and 26. Yeah. I suppose so. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. Can someone just give him a hand? 21, chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. Huh? My version is different. Vilest? Amen. Okay, this is the conclusion or the statement that the Bible left for Ahab. You know that as we said earlier, there are people who are far, far worse than him. But the Bible says never anyone like him. Never. Why? The Bible says that he sold himself. What does it mean by he sold himself? It means that he had a choice. He didn't have to do it. He knew it's wrong to do it. He knew he shouldn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. He allowed it to happen anyway. He tolerated anyway. He never do anything about it anyway. That's what they mean by sold himself. Who did he sell it to? You need to have a buyer, right? You want to sell yourself? You are Joseph, right? Is it Joseph? You want to sell yourself to someone. You put yourself on eBay. You need to have a buyer, right? So didn't they do that? Like somebody sold themselves on eBay? Nowadays, the new generation, you kids. You know that you need to have a buyer for the contract to establish. If you only want to sell but nobody buy, what? There's no deal. There's no contract. The deal will fall through. So who is the buyer? Who is the buyer? So Ahab sold himself to what? The first one. He sold himself to his wife. He sold himself to his wife. As we read all the verses, almost all the verses that we read has somewhere, somewhat related to his wife. Because the wife is an idol worshiper. The wife is not a Jew. The wife is Ammonite? I don't know. I didn't check on that. But the wife is not a Jew. Oh. Who knows the nationality of the wife? Oh, Sidon in chapter 16. Chapter 16 says that the wife, verse 31 says, the wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonites, and began to serve Baal and worship him. Huh? So who did he marry to? He married to a Gentile, an idol worshiper. Also, when the faith is different, you might not feel anything in the beginning. Hey, they are all human, okay? In the beginning, you might not feel anything, but the effects shows step by step, gradually. And that's why we always told our youth over and over to the point that you feel it's really annoying. Oh, leave me alone. Don't talk about my marriage anymore. Don't talk about marrying the church anymore. I need my freedom. So sometimes you feel that we get really annoying. Pastor, so annoying. Always talk about it. Don't they know this is like, what, 21st century already? Still talking about marrying the same belief. That's because you don't know the consequence of it. You don't know the price that you might need to pay because of it. In here, the consequence is far more than one generation. You know, after he married to Jezebel, and Jezebel brought all the customs, traditions from the Gentile worshiping country. They worship idols, they worship Baal, they worship a lot of wooden images, and their practice, the practice is evil. And she brought it along with her. And what happened to Ahab? Ahab adapted. That's what happened in the marriage. In the marriage, the couple influenced each other very, very easily. Very easily. Also, if you are not cautious, you think it's no big deal. Before you know it, the direction of life, the value system, the vision of the future could be very different. Could be very different. So, for example, you know that when you say that, we can make a deal. You know, we see some youth before. Now they are no longer youth. They marry and they are like middle age, like my age. You know that some of them, before they marry, they make a deal with their non-believing spouse. Fine. You know that after we've been together for so long, now you want to marry me, huh? Let's make a deal. First, my freedom of belief. I go to church whenever I want. I attend service whenever I want. I pray whenever I want. And what happened to the guy? The guy said, sure, you know, when they are in love, when they are in this relationship, the guy says sure on everything. Right? Huh? When you laugh like that, something is wrong. You can come and talk to me afterward. You know that the clock is really weird. 11:15? 12:15? I have 5 minutes. Okay, so he sold him to his... talking back about saying yes on everything. Need to allow me to go to church. And second, you need to come and be a truth seeker. And the guy said, what? Sure. No problem. You know, they are sure about everything until the day that you marry. And after you married, you want to go to church? I mean, there are two possibilities. The husband were like, it's okay, we have a deal, so you go. But you say, I want you to go too. I'm busy, I'm tired. I want the kids to go too. No, today is my time with the kids, so the kids doesn't get to go to church. That's considered nicer. Nicer. How about for the mean one? Now, after marriage, you say, hey, we make a deal. You should come to church with me. He said, we are married already. What do you want? What do you want to do? What can you do about it? Nothing. Nothing, huh? So sometimes it could be very difficult. Sometimes it could be very difficult, especially if the religion is totally different. You want to bring your kids for baptism. You want to adopt the kids as a son of Buddha. What are you going to do? You know, it could be very different. So think twice, three times, four times, all the time, and talk to the pastor. Okay, and the way to handle situation could be very different. You know, for King Ahab, yes, he's an evil man. But when things doesn't go his way, like Naboth, I wouldn't give you my vineyard. What did he do? Go home, angry, sullen. What did Jezebel do? Jezebel said, what kind of king are you? Let me handle it for you. Why? Because their background is very different. The way to handle things could be very different. Now, for her, it's very common. The king is everything. You don't listen, I kill you. Why? The background is totally different. There's no religious background. There's no common ground on things. So in the future, if you have someone that's totally different in religion, if there is a dispute, you know, that there's something that you cannot reach agreement, you say, let's kneel down and pray and ask for God's will. She say, let me talk to my lawyer, we'll file divorce tomorrow. That's the way that things were handled different, because the concept is totally different. Think again. Is that the life that you want? Think again. Huh? So he sold himself to the wife because he allowed himself to be taken over. Oh. You know that, do you really think he has no idea how his wife going to handle the situation about Naboth? Do you think he doesn't have any idea at all? He must have. He knew what kind of wife that he has. He knew the way that his wife handled things. Oh. When his wife said, let me take care of it, do you think that Ahab believed his wife would go and beg Naboth and offer more, a better deal? He knew how she is going to handle it. But what does she do? She pretend that she is an ostrich. Ostrich, the bird? Ostrich. She pretend she bury his head in the sand, cover his eyes as nothing happened. And think that, and you know what happened afterward? The queens come back and say, case finished, case closed. Now he's dead. You can go. And he went as a man, mindless man. He didn't even bother to ask his wife, how did he die? How did he get the vineyard? No, he doesn't want to know any of it. He just wants to go and take his vineyard and be happy about it. That's what they mean by he sold himself. He allowed other people to run his life. He knew what is wrong, but he doesn't want to face it. He doesn't want to deal with it. So he is the worst king of all. Because inside, he knew it's wrong. Inside is not that bad. But he allowed other people to play with his life, to manipulate. And he covered his ear, closed his eyes, and pretend nothing happened. So in God's eyes, he's the worst of all. Because he could have made a difference. You could have made a difference. You knew what is wrong. You knew what you should not do. You knew what you should have done. But if you allow your friends, your environment, allow people in the world, the concept of the world, to influence you, to convince you, to manipulate you, to control your life, I have to do it because all my friends are doing it. You don't have to ring this so many times. Once I got it. If you allow people around you to control your life, the trend of the world, I have to follow it. Otherwise, I'll feel left out. Is it evil? I don't know. Close my ear. I don't want to hear it. Is it bad? Close my eyes. I don't want to see it. But I like the result. You know what? You will bear the consequence along with it. You have to deal with the consequence. Ahab, he was never spared because of his ignorance. He paid the price for it. So he sold it to his wife. He sold it to his personal delight. And he sold it to lies. He liked to listen to good things. He doesn't like to listen to the bad news about him. Well, time's up. Huh? So that's what happened to King Ahab. at the end, died on the chariot. He could have made a difference. Also, I fast forward about how himself and himself, but there are a few key points that you have to remember. He is no different than you and I. So do not think that you will never be like Ahab. If you allow the world to lead you like a, you know, did you see a cow? Have you ever seen a cow? Like when they want to pull the cow, there's a nose ring, right? Then if you have that thing on the nose, or a bit on the horse, you can easily pull left and right. Or you, if you have a dog, if you don't know what cow looks like. If you have a dog, there's something called gentle leader that you control on the front mouth. You can easily pull him left and right. If you allow the world, your friends, your environment, your surrounding, the trend of the world, your colleagues, your classmates, if you allow them to pull you like pulling a horse, like pulling a cow, like pulling a dog, oh, when the trend goes this way, I have to turn. When the trend pulls me that way, I have to turn. Oh, what is popular? What is fashion? What is the name bag, the brand name? I have to catch up with the most current famous things. If you are just like that, always having people controlling you, you will end up like Ahab. He's no different than you and I because he allowed other people to run his life. Oh, so if today you know what is right, you know what is wrong, you should have known. Then do it. Make a difference. When Jezebel say, let me handle it for you. What do you say to Jezebel? Get behind me, Satan. All right. We're combining with two different classes, huh? So when Pastor Ye questioned you, I learned that. Oh, get behind me, Satan. Say to Jezebel, get away from me. God has his way to do things. I know what is right. I don't need you to run the life for me. Now, you submit to me. Oh, say to the wife, submit to me. When you are right, if you are right, if you are right, according to the Bible, you know, boys, guys, you always think that you are right, but you have to be right according to the Bible, okay? If you are not sure what the Bible says, come and talk to the pastor. You know that when we talk about Jezebel, we're not necessarily talking about wife. Wife is not what I'm trying to focus on. I'm talking about your environment. That's the wife. Or that's the husband, that's whatever, that's the influence. If you allowed the world to control you, then you'll end up like Ahab. Instead, you should say to the world, your environment, your friends, instead of being a follower, always trying to follow, oh, please let me in, let me join the conversation, let me join the group, let me be part of you. Always so afraid to be different. Instead of being a follower, try to be a leader. Make a difference. Start from yourself and influence your environment. Say to the environment, submit to me because I know what is right. Okay? So finish our first counseling here. We have one more this afternoon and one more tomorrow. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to guide our class. That's all you need to pray.